Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're so glad that you've tuned in this morning. We're glad for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you on this Sunday morning, October 21st, 2018. I saw some what are called sentence fillers this week, and I shared some of them in the bulletin of the church this morning, but I thought I'd share a few of those with you while we have you on the radio this morning. The first one is this: the Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. All right? The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, and not cake for special occasions. In fact, there's a little publication called Our Daily Bread, and one of our sisters here in the church, Mabel, she was getting that, but then they weren't sending it to her, and so I was copying some of the daily devotions for her from online, and then she finally got one, and then she got two of them, so she shared one with me. So thanks, Mabel, for that, and I like that. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. How about this one? You don't have to go to great expense these days. It will come to you. I like this one too. If you can't sleep, don't count sheep, pray for our country. And folks, we need to do that. We need to be people that pray for our country, that pray for those that are in authority over us, that we might live quiet and peaceful and godly lives. You know, this is something I think that we forget, and Vic Knowles in his Knowles letter that he just received, he's got a viewpoint on the back of this that's really excellent. I think I might preach through it myself using his outline. But one of the things he talks about is that here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people." Okay, for all people. And then he kind of narrows it down and he says, "For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And so, friends, I want to encourage you to be a person that reads and studies the Word of God, but even more so that we put it into practice in our life, and especially when it comes to prayer. And prayer is something that I think very many times we do. We pray selfishly. We pray about us. We pray about that God would just overflow His blessings in our life, and we pray that everything would go smoothly and everything that would go easy, and that God would always make things straight, and we wouldn't have any obstacles, and there wouldn't be any trials or anything to test our faith. Well, really, then how would our faith be matured? How would we grow in grace and knowledge? Why does James then say, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds? Because the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And so maybe we ought to, instead of just praying for a nice, easy road, not necessarily pray for a hard one and full of grief and trials and all kinds of hardships, but God, when those things in life come, help us to be just as faithful to you and just as faithful to each other through those things as we are when everything's good. I think sometimes people think that when something bad happens, that it's all God's fault. That's ridiculous. It's not God's fault. Okay? Many of the consequences that come in our lives and that other people bring in our lives are because of their own silly decisions. Sometimes we make foolish, silly, stupid, you know, unthought out decisions. Sometimes we try to push the envelope and do things when we're too tired. We have no business doing them. Sometimes we just think we're right. We don't listen to anybody else. We don't get a variety of counsel to help us to make a good decision. Sometimes we just buy and we just act. I was at a car dealership the other day, and man, I mean, you know, it was kind of interesting. They weren't twisting my arm, but boy, they were getting kind of close. And you know, I know they got to sell cars. That's what they do for a living. But wow, I was just thinking to myself, man, if people prayed like these guys are trying to get me to buy one of their cars, then what could happen? And so we need to be people of prayer, and we need to be people that intercede with petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for all people and for the king and those in authority. And I think it's really sad that we live in a country right now that is so politically divided. Okay, you know, we're human beings, and I've been pointing this out recently, that phooey on this Democrat-Republican stuff, okay, we're human beings, and sure, we need to try to understand each other. There's things that I completely disagree with as far as being a part of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or any other party. I'm more interested in what the Word of God says than what politicians say. And yet God in His Word has called us as Christians to pray for those in authority. And yes, that means President Trump. And pray for him and don't intercede like, God, take him out of the way. You know, God, help him to have the wisdom and the mindset to do what's right. And whether he chooses to do that or not, that's what he's going to be held accountable for. But we need to pray for those in authority that they'll make decisions that will honor God and that will be good and that will be right and that will reflect a heart of not the world society we live in, but a heart that reflects what God wants, what's best for us. I mean, it distresses me that I see, you know, substances that are addictive and people have gotten in real trouble with just becoming legalized left and right. And, you know, it may be marijuana today, but pretty soon it's going to be even more and more addictive drugs. And then what? And where else is our society going to go? I don't know. But I do know that God is good, and I do know that God is holy, and I do know that His Word says that we need to be people of prayer, and that we need to pray again, one more time, for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And I'm telling you that nobody's going to be coming to a knowledge of the truth if God's people are just bickering and fighting and fussing about this and fussing about that and not encouraging each other and instead of drawing near to each other, just cutting off ties with each other. What is that? That's not godly. That's wrong. That's wrong for God's people to pull away from God's people when they're going through a difficult time in their life. And so, you know, maybe that's you. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to come back to Christ. Maybe you need to come back to the church and repent and say, man, I've been foolish. I've been trying to handle life by myself. And I need God and I need God's church. And so, aren't you glad that God gives us a good foundation in the Word of God to live by? Hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns, and the title of it is What If His People Prayed? Now, I know God's people pray, but do we really pray? I mean, I know there's room for improvement in my life in the matter of prayer. How about you? And so let's listen to Casting Crowns sing What If His People Prayed? And think about that and consider our own prayer life as we do that. Let's listen.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn. What would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah, and turn from their own ways. He said that they would hear. His promise has been made. He'd answer loud and clear, yeah. If only
we're back this morning with the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas, and we'd love to have you come meet with us this morning at 10:30. We are located on right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. Love to have you come by this morning at 10:30, and our brother Cal Heinbaugh is going to be preaching a message for us this morning. So come on out and hear Cal preach this morning at 10:30. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles or just listen as we go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 18. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18. The Bible says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. You know, one of the things that I really like about this verse is that Jesus's heart was all about spreading the good news of the kingdom around. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't do that if you just stay in one place. Many works of the kingdom, different congregations of Christians have been in the same place for, you know, decades and decades and decades, sometimes even centuries. And yet they're still striving to make sure that the word of God goes out from that place. But Jesus' heart especially was about spreading the good news to as many people as he could. And so when this crowd was around him, he didn't just bask in and glory in the crowd and want to be with the big crowd and think that He was only successful as a big crowd. He wanted to get to as many people as he could. And so when he saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. You know, it's much like in the book of Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8, when after Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, he told his apostles that they were going to begin to proclaim the gospel, that power would come on them there in Jerusalem, that they would preach the gospel beginning at Jerusalem and then to Judea and then to Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And so that's the Great Commission that's also found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But while Jesus was here, he was interested in sharing. And so even though he had a big crowd around him, he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. And so verse 19, when he got there, apparently it says, then a teacher of the law, or other versions say a scribe, came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, teacher of the law or scribe, you know, they're different kind of functions or places, positions within the Jewish hierarchy there. Scribe, very important, you know, person. A teacher of the law, obviously very important, and they had quite a place in their society. And so here is one of those. It doesn't give a name. It just says a teacher of the law or scribe came to Jesus and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, here is someone who I think, and you know, we don't want to judge motives, but it seems kind of apparent here, especially in light of the contrast that we're going to talk about in a little bit, that here is someone who has seen Jesus's miracles. They've heard him preach. They see the crowds that he's drawing, and there's just, you know, perhaps the idea that, oh, hey, I want to be a part of this. I want to be part of this bigness. I want to be part of this glamorous show. I want to be part of something big. And so, you know, he may have even looked at all the crowds and everything that Jesus was doing and who Jesus had surrounded himself with. And, you know, it was almost like the idea of, hey, teacher, I'll follow you wherever I go. I could certainly have a part in this ministry. You know, I could probably do a whole lot more for you than, you know, these sniff fishermen you picked. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it, but it seems like he's like overenthusiastic to just join Christ here. Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Okay? And maybe he thought that Jesus' ministry was kind of more like his, and that wasn't the case at all. And so when he asks, says this, makes this statement, he didn't ask, he just said it. And we, of course, all know that it's much easier to say something than it is to do something, isn't it? And so we need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful what we promise. We need to be careful what we vow. We need to be careful that we don't just in our zeal start making promises that we are not going to keep or we can't keep even. And so seems like maybe this scribe or this teacher of the law was just a little carried away about following Christ. And there's a lot of people like that. Hey, I'll follow you. They're almost like the soil that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 13, when he said that the farmer sowed some seed and some of it fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up, and some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And then when his disciples asked what that all meant, he explains to them about the seed falling on the rocky ground. In chapter 13 and verse 20, he says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And so, you know, Jesus knows that and he understands that. And so he, I believe, really wants to help this man understand what he's getting into. He's not going to try to soft soap it or try to deceive him or, you know, try to get him to follow him just to have another follower. I think Jesus was more interested in quality than he was quantity. Okay. And so in verse 20 of Matthew 8, Jesus replied, foxes have dens, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Okay, so basically he was saying, listen, you know, Mr. Scribe, Mr. Teacher of the Law, you know, I have plenty of places to go, and I have many homes that will invite me in, and I have a few possessions. It's not like I don't have anything, but basically, you know, this is not all about being rich and famous. This isn't all it's cracked up to be, and this is not going to be some located ministry where everything's going to be nice and easy and wonderful. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, he doesn't have his own house. And he was constantly on the go. And as things progressed, him and his followers would become more and more and more and more persecuted. And so foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So, you know, here's one of those things that if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to count the cost. We need to say, wow, you know, I might not be able to enjoy the lifestyle of the rich and famous or even the ordinary. God calls us to a higher standard, and the things that we do for him and his kingdom are, you know, much more costly in terms of our life than even the world would have us to follow. And so in verse 21, again, he says, another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. So here's just the opposite kind of fellow. He's not somebody that's gung-ho, but he's like, you know, Jesus, I really want to follow you. You know, I really want to, and I know I should, and I'm sure it's a good thing, but just not right now. And so, you know, Lord, he wasn't just saying, Lord, let me go have a funeral and bury my dad. He was like, let me wait until my dad is gone. I'm going to take care of him until he dies, and then I'll come follow you. And I hope that you're not like either one of these. I hope that if you made a decision to follow Christ, that you're going to follow him steadfastly, wholeheartedly, through thick and thin, through good and bad, that whether you have a lot or a little, that you're going to follow after Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether things are good or not, that you're still going to follow him, and that if he was persecuted, then you're willing to be persecuted. If he was insulted, you're willing to be insulted. That's part of the cost. Because Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And if you love anyone, even father and mother, children, wife, more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. The second man was a not now. And I hope you're not that person either, that you don't say, oh, well, I would, but... You know, serve Jesus now while you have the opportunity. Make hay while the sun shines, as the saying goes. Be a follower of Christ and don't put a lot of not nows. Serve him wholeheartedly with everything you got right now, okay? Let's listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns, again, called Thrive. And God wants us to not just be mediocre, but he wants us to thrive in life and to really, truly do all the things that he would have us to do and be as his followers. Let's listen.
Many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive.
our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to
to the end of our broadcast this morning, let me just read Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37 one more time for you. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Friend, I hope that you have chosen to follow Christ. And if not, will you please consider that? Will you really look into and ask questions about Jesus? Who do you say he is? And don't just be satisfied with pat answers. You do some digging and searching and find out who Jesus is so that you can make a decision about what you're going to do with him. It'll be the best decision you make, or it'll be the worst decision you make to reject him. Hey, again, we're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn, 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30 and at 6 o'clock in the evening. Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we have prayer and a Bible study. We're going through Philippians at this time. So please come and join us. Check us out on our website at thechurchatlasvegas.com. thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until the next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.